Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's time for the Draft Dudes Podcast.
What's better than this?
Your hosts, the Draft Dudes themselves and co-founders of the Draft Network, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino. Guys being dudes on the Draft Dudes Podcast. And it starts now.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs. We are your hosts. We're from the Draft Network. Kyle Krabs also here producing this thing, floating around, co-hosting, producing, drinking a beverage. He has a jacket on. He's inside. A lot going on with Kyle Krabs today. But
we're from
the Draft Network. We're brought to you by Bet Online, which is your number one source for all your sports betting needs. This season, you'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends over at BetOnline, and it's always the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports and events, whether that's the NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. So head to betonline.ag and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. It's BetOnline, and it's where the game starts. Kyle, happy National Clean Out Your Fridge Day.
Oh, I need to do this desperately.
Yeah, me too. I felt
I'm in a bad way in this regard. Well, to be fair, it's not my fault.
I can affirm that. I've seen the grocery procedures at your house, and they are
you know what kills me?
Not very calculated.
We get we go to Costco twice a month, right? Or I should say my wife goes to Costco twice a month, but I go about one every three trips. And when we go, we come back, and obviously Costco, it's volume selling, right? You get a better per unit cost because you're buying more. And I'll just use the guacamole to-go packets as an example. Costco sells them and they're 16 packs, right? And they're good for 3 weeks.
Wait, so you go through 16 packs of guacamole?
Here's the thing, Joe. We usually go through about 3 a week. But that
how much
doesn't
guacamole are you eating?
That doesn't no. Three of the individual units that are to-go cup size.
Oh, gotcha. I thought you were making
it's guacamole. One big tablespoon's worth of guacamole in each individual unit of packaging, right? And we go through probably 3 a week. So that means by the time we go to Costco again, we have used half of our ration. So what do? We buy another 16 pack, even though we still have 10 of the first 16 that we bought, and the shelf life's good for a month. So instead of just buying them every other time we go to Costco, we're going to Costco. We're getting the same stuff every time. Doesn't matter how much of it we've used. Doesn't matter how much of it we have left. Doesn't matter when the expiration date is. And I love my dear wife to death, but this is one of my biggest pet peeves when we come back. And it's bro, we got 2/3 of this exact same thing we just bought that's good for another 3 weeks. Why'd we buy another one? So my fridge is, I need this day of the month every month.
We got to celebrate too, right? So
yeah, I got to actually.
What's the chances? What's the chances that some point in the next 24 hours you're cleaning out your fridge?
Zero.
Yeah.
I'm not celebrating. I need it, but I will not celebrate.
Shall we celebrate the NFL weekend that was with some word association minus Chris Schubert?
Yeah, so I guess what I'd like to do, Joe, is in the spirit of word association, I'd like to present the game.
Yeah, that. There's and you no other way to
you,
do this.
You react, and then I can provide my input. Okay?
We'll see what happens. So I guess what you just established there was that I will be going first every time.
Correct, because I'm going to reveal the game every time.
All right. Well, reveal the game slowly so I have a second to think.
Okay. The first game, and I'm using ESPN.com, their NFL scoreboard, so don't get mad at me in the order in which the games came out, because there's not really a rhyme or reason, and we didn't start with the Sunday morning game in London. Like, that's not the first game up here. The Green Bay Packers in overtime defeated the Dallas Cowboys by a final score of 31-28.
Okay, the word is relax. Word is relax. All right.
And it's for the Cowboys.
No, clear. It's relax for the Packers. Listen, I'm a little bit in on the Packers. I'm a little bit in.
A little in on the Packers.
Yeah, I've been trying to be in for a while now. I have been. And that second half against the Bills, I was like, okay, I think they found their way. And then they stunk it up against the Lions, right? The three interceptions from Aaron Rodgers. And then they came back and beat the Dallas Cowboys. And I think this was a very good example of them doing the stuff they need to do. 39 rushes, 207 yards. They found Christian Watson in this game, 4 catches, 3 touchdowns. He had a couple of drops, I know that, but that didn't stop Aaron from kind of going back to him. Defensively, I like a lot of what this team has. I think I am cautiously optimistic about the Packers being able to kind of string this together and get to the postseason and make a little noise.
How many wins do you think you need to make the postseason? They're currently 4-6.
I think you probably need 9.
Okay, so they need to go 5-3. No, yeah, 5-3 down the stretch. According to Joe Marino, is your gut.
Well, they have 7 games left, so they would need to go.
No, they're 4-6. So they need to go 5-2.
Yeah.
Draft dudes do math. Yeah. I'll shut up.
They have at Eagles. They go at Eagles, at Bears, home against the Rams, at Dolphins,
you skip
Vikings,
the Titans
Lions.
Game. And they also have Titans.
That's the very next
Titans
game.
Are next at Eagles, at Bears, home against the Rams. Okay, so I think there's a pathway to beat the Titans. Packers have a really good defensive front to stop the run, right?
Yeah. Well, so you see the Packers?
The Packers have a really good defensive front
they
to stop
do,
the
but
run.
They stink at run defense, right? That's like their problem. The one thing they can't do on defense is stop the run. Well, not great against Tennessee.
I'm just trying to get the benefit of the doubt. I know statistically speaking, their pass defense is much more impressive this season.
Right.
They'll probably lose to the Eagles. Probably. I don't think it would be crazy for the Packers to win, but you'd expect the Eagles to win. Beat the Bears, beat the Rams. Are you expecting them to beat the Titans?
Listen.
Right now,
I don't
want to
take away
head,
from
yes
the
bit, no.
But I think they can go 5-2. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what two they're going to lose, or you know what I mean. Like it's the NFL. Like it's unpredictable.
Here's the challenge, though, right? Because it's week 11. Like your floor is 5-2 to make the playoffs.
Probably.
Like you can't go 4-3 and finish. Drafted to math 8-9. Like they've left themselves very little margin for error, and the rubber's about to meet the road. And oh, by the way, in 2 weeks, you're going to play the only undefeated team in football. So we'll see.
I said I'm cautiously optimistic. Relax, I'm in.
And I had desperate times was mine. Desperate times, desperate measures. The Packers needed this game. The Cowboys would have liked to have it, and they had it, if we're being honest. Packers 14 points in the fourth quarter comeback. The next game, Joe, the Arizona Cardinals went on the road to play the LA Rams in Rams House, and in a showdown of backup quarterbacks, won 27-17 to push the Cardinals into third place in the NFC West with only the LA Rams behind them.
the Rampede, the Ramily over there at the Rams house. This is why Chris Schubert didn't show up today. He didn't. He's been telling us for 105 years that Sean McVay owns Cliff Kingsbury, and his ass couldn't show up to the podcast today to own up to that not being true for once. I didn't say anything about the game. I'm sorry about that. Backup quarterbacks, right? Like that's the thing here. My brother Frank, we're setting our fantasy lineups before the games on Sunday. He goes, "Do you think I should start John Wolford or Colt McCoy?" I'm like, "Dude, how are those your options?" Well, because he has Matthew Stafford and some other quarterbacks, of which names escape me. But my God, man, like these teams are like up against it. They need to have games, and you hate that you don't have your starting quarterback. And looks like Arizona, which I think based on the status of where these teams are at with injuries considered, I think they had a little bit more. They brought a little bit more to the fight on Sunday.
So I think what's incredible to me is this was a game that had two backup quarterbacks, and you said, okay, who can get things going in the running game probably, right, and play a little bit more balanced attack? You see the rushing totals for these two teams, Joe?
Pretty modest.
The Rams, 20 for 66 yards, 3.3 yards per carry against the Arizona Cardinals defensive front seven. And the Arizona Cardinals rushed 26 times for 78 yards for a paltry 3 yards per carry.
Kind of flies in the, like, the thing is, you would expect those teams to go into it and say, okay, if we're going to lose this game, Colt McCoy is going to beat us. If we're going to lose this game, John Wolford's going to beat us. You sell out to stop the run.
Right.
The longest rush in this game was 10 yards on 46 attempted carries.
Just a tragic game. I'm not sad at all. I didn't commit a single second of time to watching this football game. Okay, our next game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers pushed their record back to 500 with a dominant performance on the ground to beat the Seattle Seahawks in Munich, Germany by a final score of 21-16.
Rashad White, 105 yards rushing. Certainly he's going to get the angry run this week from Kyle Brandt, right? Stiff arm, send him back to the United States, I guess. But them being able to find look, 44 rushes, 161 yards, like that's not great per carry, but for the Bucs, you got to love that. So I think Rashad White could be their X factor the rest of the way if they lean into him. It was a good find for them.
Yeah, it's just tendency breaker, I think is my word or phrase, and it really comes down to the Bucs and the rushing offense and how one-dimensional they were on early downs when Fournette was in the game. So to have a tendency breaker in Rashad White who can tote the rock but then can also contribute in the passing game, and I think it'll really help them, and I'll be fascinated to see how heavy they lean into the running game moving forward. But exciting development for Rashad White. Obviously, I'd imagine it was a very cool moment for Geno Smith to hear how many thousand people singing Country Roads as West Virginia Mountaineer alumni. So that was a pretty cool moment. Obviously,
I have two follow-ups to that. The first one is, so I could go to Munich, Germany and hear Country Roads, but I can't go to...
But you can't go to Morgantown when the Mountaineers lose. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Want to make sure I clarified that. But also, how about the Bucs' run defense finding itself, limiting Ken Walker to 10 rushes for 17 yards? I mean, they had been getting a little bit abused here lately, and they had a tough matchup here against a good young running back, and they bowed up.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, the Detroit Lions went on the road, scored 21 points in the fourth quarter to come back and defeat the Chicago Justin Fieldses by a final score of 31-30 to push the Bears record to 3-7. The Lions now suddenly sitting at 3-6. They have a winning record since the ownership pep talk with the media that came mid-season to voice their vote of confidence in the direction of the Lions team. And the Lions have rewarded them with two wins.
This is a game that I probably foolishly wrote off. Once Chicago got up 24-10, I'm like, I kind of stopped paying attention. And then it was like, I go back and kind of recap in the day on Sunday night. And I'm like, hey, what happened? The Lions won this game. And, you know, I know obviously some big plays on defense there. Jeff Okuda scoring on defense, but the Lions are a very confusing team. You never know if they're going to be good on defense or bad on defense, good on offense or bad on offense. They have some fight in them. There's no question. They play hard every week, but I think you just have two young football teams that are early, somewhat early in rebuilds. And I think that level of variance is somewhat to be expected. And this game in a lot of ways was a microcosm of that. I'm sure you're going to want to give a shout out to your guy, Jack Sanborn, man, 12 tackles. A couple
yeah,
sacks,
man. He's a baller.
Hits. Yeah.
Absolute baller for Chicago there in the middle, taking over the Mike linebacker spot. My word is holy cow. And the reason why it's holy cow is, Joe, I'm going to read some numbers to you. Okay. I got five numbers.
All right.
237, 243, 240, 252, and 258. You know what those numbers are?
Yeah, those. I'm guessing that's the Bears' weekly rushing output.
For the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's insane.
A minimum of 237 rushing yards in every game for the last 5 weeks.
That's like good for college football, right? That's like Lendell White and Reggie Bush at USC.
Right. And like, I want to make sure that I get it correct. And there will inevitably be those who, I guess, kind of poo-poo this statistic and, oh, well, that's not really the point of what you're doing or what you're supposed to do at the position. You know where Justin Fields is in the NFL in rushing yardage?
Like of all players?
Of all players.
He
Justin
might be
Fields
top five.
He is sixth.
Yeah.
The only players in the NFL with more rushing yards than Justin Fields are Saquon Barkley, 931, Derrick Henry, 923, Nick Chubb, 904, Josh Jacobs, 821, and Damian Pierce, 772. Justin Fields has 749 rushing yards.
What's his yards per carry?
That's a great question.
I thought you'd have it right there.
That.
Sorry to mean to say
that. I'm glad you asked me that. It is 7.2.
Chris, producer, where are you?
7.2 yards per carry.
Good things, man. Those matter. Those yards matter for his offense.
Another 60-plus yard touchdown run against Detroit. And, like, I don't mean to take a Detroit Lions win because, obviously, our Lions, and, like, we still have a lot of affinity for Detroit and kind of this regime and Holmes and Campbell, and excited to see as they get more mature and can kind of stack these successes together to see what it looks like. But Fields is just what he is doing is teetering on the brink of things we've never seen as a quarterback being an athlete and a rusher in NFL history. I don't know off the top of my head what the single season rushing record is, but like Justin Fields is probably on pace to smash it for a quarterback.
We did this 2 weeks in a row. The Bears lost the football game and we didn't
we
spend any time
about
talking
the
about the team. Talk about the Dolphins last week or the Lions this week. So,
well, I mean, you get enough Dolphins talk on this show with me.
No,
it's my fault.
I personally want more of it.
Don't ask me for a good time. The Tennessee Titans.
Oh, you didn't do it. You didn't go to the Dolphins. That was your chance.
Yeah, no, I'm resisting the low-hanging fruit here. The Tennessee Titans at home outlasted the Denver Broncos.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah. By a final score of 17-10 to push the Titans' record to 6-3 on the season, whereas the Denver Broncos are sitting at 3-6.
I guess this game lived up to every expectation I had for it. It's like sloppy quarterback play. Defenses are good on both sides. That like the game was decided on the trick play to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, right? Like that was your difference in the game. And then
yes.
Russ couldn't get it done at the end. It was kind of like in a lot of ways a microcosm of the season for both of these teams. Shout out to Tennessee for getting six sacks on defense. which is really impressive, the pass rush they've been able to generate without Harold Landry.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, that was like their guy, but they're finding a way. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't Bud Dupree injured right now, which is pretty much par for the course, but.
Wow. You went there, huh?
Hurt guys are always hurt, man.
My statistic is yikes, or my word is yikes.
For which team?
The Denver Broncos. I saw a statistic on Monday morning, and I wish I could credit who I saw it from, but you know how it is when you're sitting there scrolling your phone as you're gearing up to start your day and kind of see it. And, oh, wow. Yeah, make note of that one. And then, like, you can't go back and find it. Right.
Yeah.
If the Denver Broncos scored 18 points in regulation at the end of every game, what would their record be?
Oh, I saw. Yeah, I saw it too. They'd be like 8-1, right?
They would be 8-1 if they scored just 18 points at the end of 60 minutes in each of their first 9 football games. Instead, they are 3-6. Holy, you know what? Yikes.
Did you notice the blue pants that the Broncos wore in the game?
I did.
Yeah, and I didn't think I would notice them like I thought it would, because I think it was a pretty big deal recently where they're like, oh, we're gonna
wear the blue pants.
The blue pants. I was like, okay. Ooh. And then I watched this game and I was like, wow, they look different.
Yeah.
I felt some type of way about it. So.
Unfortunately, the offense didn't look different though.
Yeah.
Let's be fair. Let's at least acknowledge the Broncos wide receiver core has been ravaged with injuries at this point.
Tim Patrick.
Right.
Before
which everybody kind of forgets about. But yeah, I mean, he was a big loss for them.
I'm reminded of him every day when I look at my fantasy team. I see him in the IR. Yeah, he's fresh on the mind.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Okay, Joe, here's the segue you were waiting for. The Miami Dolphins defeated the Cleveland Browns by a final score of 39-17. To push the Dolphins' record to 7-3, their best 10-game start to a season since 2001, and to push the Cleveland Browns to the brink of the playoffs with a record of 3-6.
Yeah, I think the word for me is just efficient, right? The Dolphins have found incredible efficiency in this game, obviously throwing the football like they have, but the rushing offense showing up like it did is really important, right? I mean, for this team to face the challenges that are coming, right, with cold weather football and playoffs, which the Dolphins are 100% in that conversation. You know, I think them getting Jeff Wilson going to complement the potency of that passing offense, and in a game where Tua threw the ball to everybody, right? I mean, nobody had more than five receptions. One, two, three, four. You had 5 different players with more than 4 catches. Yeah, so this was very much a hey, we don't just throw the ball to these fast guys. We could do a whole lot more on offense besides that. And I mean, is it bye week coming up here for Miami? You gotta be feeling great about where you're sitting.
Yeah, and you come out of the bye, you play the Texans. So I mean, not to look too far ahead, but you think about, let's take a week and get healthy, let's add some new wrinkles in. You come out and you play the team that's currently has the worst record in football at home before you have this gnarly 3-game road stretch with 2 games on the West Coast. And the Dolphins have positioned, they've done the thing they have not done the last couple of years despite winning records, and that they've actually positioned themselves very well in the early portion of the season to finish strong instead of chasing things and being behind the 8-ball and then just not quite having enough to close the deal and get a ticket to the postseason. But you know, my immediate reaction to this game, Joe, is three letters. MVP. I think Tua Tagovailoa carrying this through, if he plays to this standard for the rest of the year, is going to have a very significant claim to the title of MVP when it's all said and done.
Yeah, he's on a making a case. He's obviously headed that way. And I think what's important there is, like, you got to finish, right?
Yep. And you'll get the matchups. You know, you'll get the Jets again. It's a pretty good pass defense. You'll get the Bills again. Very good pass defense. You'll get the Packers, a very good pass defense. You get the 49ers, yeah. Very good defense. Like, we're going to find out. We're going to find out. But the last three games from Tua Tagovailoa is about as proficient, efficient, and effective stretch of play. And I understand you played the Lions and you played the Bears. The Browns had a lot of talent. The Browns were coming out of the bye. And the Browns, you know, they threw a lot of exotic stuff at the Dolphins. I think that was the biggest thing when I went through and watched the coaches' film, because you're wondering, okay, what was the recipe for mitigating Waddle and Hill the way that they did? They played a lot of cover six, and they clouded the corner to, if they went Waddle and Hill on different sides of the field, they would press the ISO guy and cloud up to get collision inside 5 yards and play a safety over the top, and then they would go quarter on the other side of the field and try and run the Mike linebacker out of there to seal anything that crossed the middle. And Tua didn't bite. I mean, they're bringing third level pressure down, rolling the safety down into the throwing window for that glance slant that they like to hit. And he just kind of held it, was patient. There were a couple protection busts in which he just kind of slid in the pocket and bought himself time. He's protecting himself at a really high rate right now. And, all of the things that you expect to see from an execution standpoint, Tagovailoa is doing right now. I know he's got his physical limitations as far as off-platform throws and areas of the field that he can challenge, and that'll be the big roadblock they're going to have to clear. But as you said, I think that's what makes what they were able to do on the ground so important moving forward for the Dolphins, because, man, they really got after the Browns up front. By the way, I do have the statistic. Do you know, in the current lexicon of NFL quarterback seasons, where Justin Fields is right now for single season rushing yardage all time?
You said he has like 7-something?
749.
I'm guessing it's pretty impressive. I mean, I think about the number of seasons that like Lamar had and Cam Newton had, and Kyler Murray's had some big years. I mean,
Justin Fields is 5 yards away from passing Cam Newton's best season as a rusher.
Wow. So I'm sure it might be top 10.
It's 15th.
Okay.
15th all time. Lamar Jackson currently holds the record in 2019, that MVP season. He played 15 games and rushed for 1,200 yards, an average of 80 per game. Fields currently averaging 75 per game. So,
got a chance.
He's going to be close, and he's got a potential to play two extra games, which would push him over the top. So that's something to watch as we continue to move forward here. I was surprised to see Russell Wilson's like top 8.
Yeah, he had some good years early, man.
2014, he had 849.
Yep.
Okay. Our next game. The New York Giants at home defeated the Houston Texans by a final score of 24-16. To push the Giants' record to 7-2 on the season.
More cushion, right?
Right.
I think that's what I say. More cushion. The Giants, I feel like we're still waiting. How do I say this?
Still waiting.
The more
for
cushion,
the
better, right?
Regression.
Like, yeah, you get concerned just about the level of talent that they have and being able to match up against heavyweight teams. But like winning these games like this that you're supposed to, and next week or their next game is against Detroit. Like stacking those wins gives you the margin of error that you're going to need to get to the dance.
Yep.
And that's good.
No
because
doubt.
You still got two against the Eagles left. You got the Cowboys on the road. You got it at Minnesota. So as much margin as you can give yourself, the better. And that's what they did here by being a team that they should in the Houston Texans.
Hoodwinked and bamboozled is my reaction, because I texted you before this game was played. It was in regards to more young players stepping into roles defensively for the Giants. And I'm going to tell on myself here, because I texted you with a link and I said Texans money line.
I saw it. I wanted to say something back, but I knew if I said something back, it would jinx the Giants.
Mm. Very noble of you to put your own ego off to the side to allow the Giants to have the successes that they did yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Welcome. You're welcome, Giants Nation. You're welcome.
Yeah, they're going to make the playoffs. That bet's going to be an L for me at this point. I was sitting here banking. I believe we have a bet on the Giants making the playoffs.
Chris, where you at? Chris.
Yeah, Chris.
We need
Chris,
you to look this up.
Let us know. I was sitting here expecting some kind of a regression loss to either Jacksonville or Houston. And they didn't. It didn't happen. They won the 2 one-score wins for the Giants. But look, that's what they've done all year. 1-score win against the Titans, 1-score win against the Panthers, 1-score win against the Bears, 1-score win against the Packers, 1-score win against the Ravens, 1-score win against the Jaguars, 1-score win against the Texans.
Listen, they go 3-5 to finish the year. They're a 10-win team.
Right. They're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because they'll probably beat the Lions are probably going to find a way to lose. Then they play Dallas, and you feel like they'll probably drop that one. Say you split with the Commanders. That's 2 wins. They play the Eagles twice. Even if you say the Eagles sweep them, they still got the Colts week 16 right. or week 17.
And the Vikings. I mean, not that I expect them to go into Minnesota and win the game, but it's still another opportunity.
Right. They will finish with a winning record, like, comfortably. They'll probably be a 10-win team. 10-7, be my guess. So, Kyle, here's your sign. Say less, shut up.
Your process was fine. Their talent's not good. They just win.
You know what? Whose process was not fine? The Indianapolis Colts defeated the Las Vegas Raiders by a score of 25-20 on yet another fourth quarter blown lead by the Las Vegas Raiders at home. The Raiders falling to 2-7.
I don't even know what word to come up with here.
I got one. You want me to give one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Respect. And my respect is for Derek Carr. I don't know if you saw his comments in the post game.
I did.
But he got very emotional at the podium talking about how angry it makes him that not everybody in the Raiders building takes the level of pride and takes the magnitude of what they are trying to accomplish as a team and the shortcomings in being able to do that and finding a way to lose football games. His phrasing, not mine, was that it pisses him off that not everybody in the building takes it to heart for how hard the team and the players, or many of the players, are working to try to have the breakthrough and find some success. And I know Derek Carr is a really polarizing quarterback and the NFL lexicon of quarterbacks. And can you win with him? Can you not win with him? So on and so forth. But there's one thing I will always say for Derek Carr that I've had respect for. And it's his ability as a leader to speak candidly and to walk the walk as well as talking the talk. So that's my reaction to this game, because I certainly did not care one bit about what actually happened for the 60 minutes that they were on the field.
How much of that do you think is a reflection of the current leadership or just what it's been for the Raiders?
Probably both, but especially with how Bisaccia really invigorated them last year. Yeah. I have a feeling that has to do with the leadership group that are the some dynamics of leadership that exists within the building now.
Man, that's a tough, if that was the right guy for the job, that's tough.
Right.
That's a tough pill to swallow, man. You had him.
Yep.
He's a special teams coach for the Packers or something now, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe that was his next stop. Yeah. Anything you want to add on that one?
No, I feel like we kind of talked about it a lot yesterday. That's why I couldn't find something new to say because we.
Oh, okay.
We did the dude part, you know. So.
Speaking of the dude segment yesterday, the Minnesota Vikings and Justin Jefferson, aka Superman, came back and defeated the Buffalo Bills in overtime by a final score of 33-30. The Vikings sitting at 8-1. The Bills sitting at 6-3.
Signature win, right? This is what everybody wanted from Minnesota, was to knock off a quality opponent. They did that. And what's funny is they did it the same way they beat all the other teams, right? Improbable moments, fourth quarter comeback of the season for Kirk Cousins. They've played 9 games. I mean, that's unbelievable. They found a way, man. And you feel like the Bills had 100 different opportunities to win the game. They just didn't. And obviously the point for Buffalo is you got to stop turning over the ball. They're turning over the ball at the highest clip of any team in the NFL. Like turnovers per drive, that percentage is unbelievably high. And you got 3 losses on the season by a combined 8 points. And you wonder if you were just an average team at turning over the ball, how many losses you have. So that's what has to get fixed in Buffalo. And for Minnesota, keep doing your thing, man. You're 8-1. Winning close games, that's great for this coaching staff as they take over right under Kevin O'Connell and the buy-in, all that type of stuff, especially for where they've been recently. They're on a good trajectory. Happy for them.
True or false, the Vikings clinched the division before the month of December. They have a 5.5 game lead in the division right now.
That's a reasonable chance, although I just talked about how I feel like the Packers are going to stack some wins here.
Right. But I mean, if Minnesota wins their next 3, mathematically it's done. And I can't say for certain that's absolutely true, you know, but if the Packers lose one and the Vikings win the next 2, if they beat the Cowboys and Patriots and the Packers drop a game, they'd be 6.5 out with 5 games to play. So fact or fiction, the Vikings clinch the NFC North in November.
Fiction.
You think fiction? You think the Cowboys get them next week?
If they win both, they have to win both, and that's what they have to do, and the Packers have to lose both their games?
No, just one. Packers have to lose one. And if the Vikings beat the Cowboys and Patriots, and the Packers lose one game in the next 2 weeks, and this is just very rough math here.
No, I say they don't do it.
Okay. I guess we'll find out.
To play after that, man. The 7 games to play after that.
Right, but the Vikings would be 6.5 up.
I don't think we're going to turn to December and we're going to have an NFC North champion.
I can settle this right now. Done. No matter what happens. According to 538.com, if the Vikings win the next 2 weeks, regardless of any other outcome in the entire NFL, they will clinch the NFC North.
Okay, I will predict that they don't go on currently a 7-game win. I will predict that the Vikings don't go on a 9-game winning streak.
Law
I can
averages,
live with the result.
Right?
Yes.
Law of averages. I did use the phrase. I called the Vikings cockroaches again on social media, and there are a couple people that didn't appreciate the context of the way we talked about on the show last week and took exception to it. I admire it. I admire these wonky, crazy, surreal, just defying every ounce of logic that exists, ways to win all of these football games that they have done again and again and again. It's going to have you be a very mentally tough football team again in the face of adversity when you get to the postseason. Yeah. I admire it.
You have never have a reason to believe you're not going to win the game. You've done it.
But you are freaking cockroaches, man.
Yeah.
To do this again and again and again. It's incredible. So my reaction is cockroaches. I think our last game, perhaps.
I think we have 2 more.
Draft dudes do math. We have Steelers Saints. Pittsburgh winning 20-10 in the NFL's Week 10 Apathy Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers beat the Saints by a final score of 20-10. Najee Harris posting 20 carries for 99 yards, nearly 5 yards per carry in this game.
Steelers had 28 first downs. That's all.
Yeah, let's go.
Oh, the Saints had 10 penalties. Oh, they got six of those from penalties. All right, that makes a little more sense. It's still a lot of first downs there, 9-17. Look at this box score, 379 yards to 186. Doubled them up in time of possession. I was happy to see TJ Watt playing football again, and then welcome to the Steelers, DeMonte Casey had a big interception in this ballgame.
So the Steelers had more rushing yards than the Saints had total yards in this game. Saints are just a fundamentally broken football team at this point. Would you agree? I understand they're banged up. I understand they got some injuries, but everything that they banked on being this season is like in their face.
That's a good way to put it. Everything that they banked on didn't happen. Sorry. That's why you're 3-7 and you're going to have a top five pick that you don't own.
It's going to get worse, too. They play the 49ers and the Bucks on the road. They get the Eagles on the road.
Oh, God.
Dude, their December slate, Falcons, okay, at Bucks, not great. It's a primetime game for some reason. Hopefully that gets flexed out because that's on ESPN as things currently stand. Falcons, okay. They've got two cold weather games back-to-back on the road. Christmas Eve against the Browns. And Watson will be back for that game. And then at Philadelphia on New Year's Day. Indoor team playing those two teams outside. Yikes. Mm-hmm. This is going to get worse before it gets better, guys. Buckle down. And our last game, because Joe, you were right. We had Sunday Night Football that wasn't on my original block that I was looking at. The San Francisco 49ers delivered a big win. In prime time, they pushed their record to 5-4 over the Los Angeles Chargers and Justin Herbert, who also there finished this week with a 5-4 record.
We still have another game after this, by the way.
With the Thursday game?
No, the Jaguars and the Chiefs.
Oh, jeez, Louise.
Chris!
You better hurry up then. Yeah, Chris, this is why you do this stuff, dude. Haven't heard from Chris about the little Easter eggs we buried in at the end of the Monday show yet either. So
No. I guess my 49ers defense is awesome, right? They make big plays. They limit scoring. This Hufanga, Talanoa Hufanga, is just a delight to watch play football. That guy's everywhere. Legitimate team on defense. And when they can run the ball and not turn it over on offense, that's the recipe. This is the type of game that they're built to win.
You mentioned Talanoa Hufanga, but I do wonder, like, obviously Justin Herbert played a portion of this season with the rib injury, mm-hmm. and they're super banged up in the skill group. But at what point does the conversation start coming into play about, like, late game turnovers as being a layer to Justin Herbert as a quarterback that you have to account for? And I'm not talking down on Justin Herbert, you know, from I love his game from a raw physical skills perspective. He's the upper class of the upper class of NFL quarterbacks. I think he's going to continue to get a lot better. I hope this team does get healthy so that you can see Herbert be the best version of himself. But there's just been a lot of late game situations in one score games where I understand there's 49 seconds left. So, right, you got to go get it. I understand that. But they've had a lot of turnovers in late game situations with Herbert. That's just, I haven't heard it really become a talking point yet, which is interesting.
Well, I hate that he's had two of the worst situational coaches in the history of football in Anthony Lynn and Brandon Staley. You know what I mean?
You're
like, that doesn't help. But I hear you. I hear you. I'm kind of living that myself right now. So,
Last game, I think.
Sorry if we missed your team.
Jaguars and Chiefs. Jaguars, surprise onside kick to open the game. Jaguars, surprise onside kick to steal possession to start the game. Chiefs ultimately win by a final score of 27-17. Best wishes for Juju Smith-Schuster, who obviously had a very, very scary hit in that contest. But the Chiefs just keep on. It's next man up. And then Mahomes, 350 yards and four touchdowns passing.
Did you see? I think the numbers for surprise onside kicks to start games are wildly successful.
Yeah.
You see this? Like 70%
do it.
Over, 7 of the last 10? If you're the Jags and you're in Arrowhead, you need to steal a win. Why the hell not? It didn't work, but I mean, you got the recovery, but you didn't win the game. But you certainly increased your chances. Kadarius Toney's the word here. Very productive ball game for him. Two rushes for 33 yards. Also a factor catching the football. 4 for 57. The touchdown. Nobody remembered he played for the team. Nobody was near him, and he did that weird ankle thing down the sideline or whatever. But they found a way for him to make an impact in this ball game, and that's kind of one of their X factors moving forward. You know, especially, you know, we'll see what happens with Juju, but you know, it's Chiefs are dangerous, and they just continue to prove that every week.
I think my storyline is Isaiah Pacheco.
Good player.
82 rushing yards on 16 attempts, 5 yards per carry. Like this is going to be the Chiefs starting back for the rest of the year, I think. From a productivity standpoint and an explosiveness standpoint, Edwards-Helaire still has value in the passing downs and whatnot, but Pacheco just brings a little different gear to hit in the hole. And I think it's a scary thought for the Chiefs, but oh, he's done well with his opportunities, and 16 for 82 is a good mark for him.
I think we did it.
We did it. Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino, thanks to our friends over at BetOnline for their continued support of the show. Hope everybody enjoys the rest of their Tuesday. Make sure you come back. See us again tomorrow. We're going to have another great day lined up. So thanks for checking out Draft Dudes. Hope to see you guys again tomorrow.
Thanks for being here for another episode of the Draft Dudes Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. While you are at it, help the dudes out by leaving a rating and review. Want more? Head over to www.thedraftnetwork.com or follow us at The Draft Network on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.